Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
His name is Chris Fedor. Again, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. Iron Man, always a pleasure to talk to you. Good news or bad news that Kevin Love will be able to play tonight? Is that good news or bad news?
I don't know that I fully understand the question there.
So I would I like Kevin Love, and I want Kevin Love to be on this team next year. I would also appreciate if the Cavaliers could put their best effort forward every time they go out on the floor and play it right down to the wire, and unfortunately maybe a ball might go in for the other team. But you know what? That's just part of the game, part of the learning process. And if they lost, then so be it. And when Kevin's on the floor, they seem to win, especially those first four games. So that's my question for you. Do you think maybe the Cavs should just shut him down just for health reasons?
I do not. Because I think one of the things that they're trying to build is a culture of competitive focus. And they're trying to compete each night, and they're trying to put Colin Sexton and Jetty Osman and some of these other guys in winning environments late in games so that you can have them go through situations like they went through Monday night, where they go through situations like they were in Wednesday night, where they had to contribute to winning, and they had to come through late in games in pressure moments. And I think those things matter. I think those things matter for the future of a team. And despite the fact that the Cavs are 7-7 since the All-Star break, which is a great record given everything that they had gone through this year, they haven't moved. They're still in the same spot that they were in even before the All-Star break, where they've got the third worst record in the NBA, and they've got an equal chance of winning the lottery as the New York Knicks and Phoenix Suns. And I think their odds of catching the Chicago Bulls are pretty small, because the Bulls won the other night, the same night that the Cavs won, and the Bulls won the season series. So I think the Cavs are really cognizant of everything that surrounds the end of season situation that they're in, but I think they also want to keep a competitive focus, and I think they feel like that matters going into next year, and I think they're right.
Chris, the way that the Cavs have played recently, and as you said, since the All-Star break, Colin Sexton's had a big part to do with that. Has your thought on him changed moving forward? And if so, what was it before, and what might it be now?
I don't know that it's necessarily changed all that much. Before, I looked at Colin as somebody who is a piece of this rebuild. I think the mentality of him might be able to change that, in terms of, like, he's going to keep working, he's going to keep trying to be great, he's going to do all of the controllable things to maybe surpass that particular expectation. But I think at the same time, you know, he has some flaws. He's not a finished product. He shouldn't be a finished product at 20 years old. He has to become a better defender. I think there are legitimate questions about his ability to make his teammates better, and what kind of passer he's going to be into the future. So I think because of that, I think the label that the Cavs have thrown on him as a score-first guard is accurate. And I think with score-first guards like him, I think there's certainly a ceiling to those guys. Again, he can break that ceiling, because if there's anybody who's going to work hard enough to break that ceiling, it's probably him. But nothing that I've seen from him here at the end of this season or at the beginning of the season changes what they need to do moving forward, I don't think, because I just think the Cavs are in a position where it's about acquiring as much talent, trying to get the most out of those guys, trying to put those guys in a position where they can be most successful, but you don't discount somebody like Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett because you have somebody like Colin Sexton. I just don't think he's at that level.
Chris Fedor joining us, covers the Cavs for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, of course, right here at 92.3 The Fan. This came up the other day. Cavaliers beat the Milwaukee Bucks, right? Cavs are playing very well at home as of late. And we've heard people say time and time again, and in many cases it's understandable, you don't want to be stuck in the middle in the NBA. You know, you want to be really bad, right, and you want to get those draft choices and you want to move forward. But I find it really interesting that Milwaukee, sitting there right now with the best record in the NBA, the last four seasons had 44, 42, 33, and 41 wins, clearly stuck in the middle, yet improved, built on their roster, and went from there. And Chris, that's why I tend to think, hey, roll this team out next year, and if it wins 42 games and goes 42 and 40, fine. You can build on that. You don't have to have 20 or fewer wins to build, do you?
Yeah, I think when you're in a situation like the Cavs are in, guys, I think you have to account somewhat for internal development because it's going to happen and because you have seen it throughout the course of this year. Jetty Osman is a different player now than he was at the beginning of the year. And I talked to Jetty recently about when everything started to click for him, and he said the Boston game in January. It was late January. A lot of the guys in the locker room were whispering about Jetty not developing in year two and wondering what his future was going to be and wondering why he hadn't figured it out to that point. And then all of a sudden, late January, he plays against Boston. He scores a career high at the time, and he has taken off from then. So it, like, takes these young guys. There's no set time where they're going to come into their own. It's going to vary for each guy. And I think going into next year, you do have to account for internal player development for a lot of these guys, including the guy that they're going to draft in the first round, including the second guy that they're going to draft in the first round. And so many people, guys, ask me, like, what's the model that the Cavs are trying to follow? And I think the closest one that I can come up with is the Brooklyn Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets, it's about internal development. It's about a competitive culture, and it's about trying to find guys that other teams gave up on and see if they can fit in your particular environment. So that's what they're trying to do. And with that, it's going to take time, but also there is a level that this team could get to beyond their talent because of that.
Chris Fedor joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Just after watching the NCAA tournament yesterday, and I don't know how much of it you got to watch, but could you see Ja Morant and Colin Sexton playing together in the same backcourt?
Yeah, I could, and I think the Cavs can as well. And I think it's because Ja brings things to the table that Colin doesn't necessarily have. And I think that's something that the Cavs are going to try and add this offseason, right? So, like, everybody knows that they need shooting. They don't have enough shooting, so they're going to try and add shooting. Everybody knows that they don't have enough rim protection, so they're going to try and add some rim protection somehow, some way. So it's about finding these traits that you don't currently have on the roster, and I just don't think Ja and I don't think Colin are duplicates. I think they're very different. It would give them a small backcourt, you know, two guys at the guard spot that are about 6'3". You can overcome that if you have really good defenders elsewhere and if you have some rim protection that can help those guys out. But offensively, I absolutely think they can play together, and I think one of the things that the Cavs have done throughout the course of this season is put Colin in different kind of situations, and one of those is playing him off the ball. And part of that is they think it's helpful for him. The other part of that is they think it's something that he needs to add to his game, so they want him to learn that aspect of it so that he can be better. The other part of it is exactly this. They know where they're going to be drafting. They know that it's going to be in a position maybe where Ja is there, maybe where RJ is there, and they want to know for sure. They want to have more answers to the question of can Colin Sexton play off the ball if we grab one of these guys. So because of that, I absolutely think they can play together. But I think right now, if the Cavs had the second pick, I think they'd take RJ.
You do? Why do you say
I do.
That? Better fit?
I think, one, they like his size at that spot. I think, two, they like his versatility. And I think they think he's the second best. Or I think, let me rephrase. I think there are some in the organization that believe that he's the second best player in this draft behind Zion. I talked to somebody in the organization the other day. I said, Chris, it's Zion 1, RJ 2, and then everybody else. I think a lot of different people are going to look at it a lot of different ways. But when it comes to RJ, he was great in high school. He's been great as a freshman. They think he would come in and probably score 15 to 16 points per game as a rookie in the NBA because he's that polished of a scorer. And I think his size, they think probably fits better for somebody like Colin, who is in a guy who hasn't shown the physicality and the bulk to deal with some of the guys in the NBA on the defensive end. And maybe they worry about that with Ja because of it, too.
Chris Fedor joining us. What happens with the coaching situation, Chris?
So the Cavs are going to go into this offseason, and they're going to break down their coaching search into three areas. They're going to say, all right, we're going to categorize up-and-coming assistant coaches, kind of like what Brooklyn did with Kenny Atkinson, kind of like what the Atlanta Hawks did with Lloyd Pierce. So those kinds of guys, think Jordy Fernandez of the Denver Nuggets, Alex Jensen of the Utah Jazz, guys that have not been head coaches before in the NBA that are up-and-coming assistants. So those guys are going to be in one category. The other category is going to be retreads. So if Luke Walton gets fired, he's going to be in that category. Also in that category, guys like Jason Kidd, maybe Avery Johnson. And then the other category is going to be college coaches. I think that's highly unlikely. I don't think this is as attractive of a position for the top college guy to say, hey, I want to go there. You know, like Brad Stevens, at the time that he was at Butler, he was the hot commodity. So many teams wanted him. He could sit there and wait for what he considered to be the perfect job. So if there's that hot college coach, say like Jay Wright of Villanova, I don't think he's going to look at Cleveland and say, all right, that's the job that I'm going to leave Villanova for. So I think that's going to be a category that the Cavs look at, but I think that's going to be a long shot. At the end of the day, I think they're going to prioritize an up-and-coming guy with player development in his background and probably an offensive-minded type that can try and get the most out of this particular roster. And that guy can grow alongside this young core that they're trying to build.
Larry Drew, have a chance?
Larry Drew, I have been told, is going to be in the conversation. Okay. He is going to get consideration. But the vibe that I get is that Larry Drew does not want this. It's just not for everybody, you know.
Sure.
A rebuild is tough. Larry Drew has gone on record this year saying that this is the toughest season that he's ever been a part of. And he's 60 years old, and he's been in the NBA a long time, and he's accomplished a lot of things. And I just think at this stage of his life and this stage of his career, knowing what the challenges are of this particular job, I don't think he is going to sign up for that willingly.
Last question for you. Tristan Thompson, to start next season, will be playing blank.
I think in Cleveland.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in Cleveland. But I think the Cavs, similar to the way that they went into this season, saying, okay, we have George Hill, we have Kyle Korver, we have J.R. Smith, we have these guys that we consider to be helpful on the court, but also tradable assets. I think that's how they're going to view Tristan Thompson, and I think that's the reality of it because he's going into next year on the final year of his deal, and one of the most valuable things around the NBA, expiring contracts for guys that can also play. So I think because he carries that value, the Cavs look at him the same way that they did with some of these other guys. But I think he starts the season. I think they've been very, very happy with the things that he has brought on the court and off the court this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to try and compete at the beginning of next year.
Outstanding. Chris, thank you, thank you, thank you. We will talk to you soon. Of course, we'll read you every day, plaindealercleveland.com. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it, guys.
All right,
anytime.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Chris Fedor joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.